of the book of Genesis chapter 5. Let us hear it.
And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Verse 20.
Yeah, to verse 24.
And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Meaning, here is a man who didn't go through the process that all human beings go through. It is called death. This is the second lesson. Last week we had the first lesson, walking with God. Now I must inform you today that to finalize the lesson on this phrase, walking with God, there will be one more lesson where we will be looking on the meaning of the term and its implication for us. Now, in Genesis chapter 5, from verse 4 through verse 29, 10 names are mentioned. I repeat, in Genesis chapter 5, verse 4 through verse 29, 10 names are mentioned. These 10 names from Adam to Noah represent the leading men at that time, at the dawn or the beginning or the growth of human development and history. These 10 names represent the leaders. It is from Adam to Noah. Not much is said about them. Their name just mentioned for the most part, but not much is said about them. But there is one common statement said about all of them except one man, and that is Enoch. I repeat, you know, because I'm heading on to something here, that in Genesis chapter 5, from verse 4 through verse 29, 10 names are mentioned. Other than their names and their longevity, this one lived so many years, not much is said about them. But here is it now. There is something that is said about all of these men, except about Enoch. I was about to ask that verse 19 through 24 be read again, but wait. From Genesis 6 through 31, 8 times we are told and he died. 8 times. 8 times from Genesis 6 through 31. 8 times we are told, and he died. From the text, we are told that in verse 5, and he died. We are told the same thing in verse 8, and he died. We are told the same thing in verse 11, and he died. We are told the same thing in verse 14, and he died. We are told the same thing in verse 17, and he died. We are told the same thing in verse 19, and he died. We are told the same thing in verse 27, and he died. We are told the very same thing in verse 31, and he died. Death seemed to be the one certain thing that one could look for in this time, emphasizing that we are in fact a dying race because of sin. Book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. That comes across in Genesis chapter 5. Every few verse, and he died. You wait a few more verse, and he died. Death, death, death is that all there is to living? Death, death, death. And he died. The text reveals that. Look here. The text reveals that in Enoch, the Almighty God broke the hopeless monotony. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? And he died. And he died. And he died. It's like that's all one could expect during this time. But God broke this hopeless monotony. Death. In Enoch, God broke that monotony, telling Enoch's generation and generation to come that there is more to living than dying.
That's right.
In Enoch, God was sending that message, telling Enoch's generation and generation to come that there is another possibility other than death. Telling Enoch's generation and succeeding generation that there is a link between life here and life above. How do you get that, Brother Mitchell? Because Enoch was translated. It's like Enoch was taken to Hades having not passed through that which is common to every man, death. Enoch. In Enoch, God was sending a message. In Enoch, the Almighty God was sending the message that there is one who has power over death and over dying.
That's right.
In Enoch, when the Almighty God broke the monotony in Enoch, because you see, it is in Enoch you didn't have the statement, and he died. Instead, what we have, let us hear it again from verse 19.
And Jared lived 162 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years.
Mm-hmm.
And begot sons and daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And all the days of Jared were 962 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he died.
Jared died. Read on, brother, quick.
And Enoch lived 65 years.
Enoch lived 65 years.
And begot Methuselah.
And remember, Methuselah was the man who lived 960 years, I think. 69. Okay, but watch here. Now, notice, not long after these different verses, 5, 8, 11, 14, tell you, and he died. It usually stated after I tell you, and this person begot, etc., etc., and he died. So here we have just been told that Enoch begot Methuselah, 969 years. So we expect now for the same monotonous, hopeless statement to be made. And he died. Read, brother.
And Enoch walked with God.
And Enoch walked with God. We still don't hear about Enoch dying. Read on.
After he had begot Methuselah. 300 years.
Uh-huh. The man lived 300 more years. Read on.
And begot sons and daughters.
He begot sons and daughters. It's about here we should be hearing, be told about, and he died. Read on.
And all the days of Enoch were 365 years.
Uh-huh.
And Enoch walked with God.
And Enoch walked with God.
And he was not.
And, wait, we still have not heard about the man's death. But, Brother Mitchell, he was not. Doesn't that mean he died? No, sir. Because all the others, we are told, and he died. With Enoch, we are told, with Enoch, as I said, God broke the monotony. It was a hopeless monotony.
For God took him.
God took him. That is verse
24.
But Brother Mitchell, doesn't that mean that he died? No, ma'am, no, sir. Because in Hebrews and other texts, we are told that he was translated. He didn't. In fact, Enoch is one of the two persons who never taste death. That's a honor. That's the exception to the rule.
That's right.
Never taste death. There must be something about this man. In fact, do you know that it's not only that Enoch walk with God, that we'll be talking about what that means and imply for us next week. That statement, walking with God, is said only of Enoch and of Noah. But there is a statement made of Enoch which, as far as my memory and research dictate, it is said of no man, and Enoch pleased God. However long they live, then they still died. The men and the women of Enoch's generation, they knew nothing of life after death. Even the men and women who do not believe in God today, who are not Christians, they have some belief here that after death, there is a resurrection. Enoch and his generation knew nothing of that. Enoch and his generation knew nothing of the immortality of the soul. You and I have been told that every man, every woman who has ever died is still alive to God. Brother Mitchell, the Bible teaches that, yes, in the book of Luke, chapter 20, and I think it is around verse 37, if my memory serves me right. Let us hear that passage quickly. Is it Luke chapter 20, I think.
Know that the dead.
That's the passage. Jesus Christ speaking. Know Jesus Christ is saying, this is the basis of the resurrection. Know that the dead are raised. In other words, Christ is speaking to Pharisees and Sadducees and others drew. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. And Jesus Christ is saying, the resurrection is based on a truth that God taught Moses. But you Jews have been reading about it millions, thousands of times, and you have not gotten the message. Jesus Christ says, let me bring you back to it. Now that the dead are raised,
Even Moses. Showed at the bush.
Wait. Ladies and gentlemen. When the Almighty God called Moses to go to Egypt, way back here in the book of Exodus chapter 3. And when the Almighty God said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham. Abraham had been dead for well over 100 years. I'm the God of Isaac. Isaac had been dead for well over probably 70 odd years. I'm the God of Jacob. Jacob had been dead for well over 50 years. When God said that to Moses, these men were dead. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Notice this now. Christ is speaking.
When you call it the Lord.
The God of Abraham.
And
the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir. For he is not a God of the dead.
But wait, you know, you confuse me. Because they were dead. And he's still their God. He's not a God of the dead, but they were dead. Something wrong here, Jesus Christ is about to explain.
But of the living. For all live unto him.
You get the drift? Mm-hmm. What Jesus Christ is teaching them is that even the people who are dead, they are still alive to God.
That's right.
You and I learn that. That is teaching you and me about the immortality of the soul. That when, was it last week or the week before we have the funeral of Lola? When you go to a funeral and you see the body, the soul of that man or woman has already been transported to Hades.
That's right.
Awaiting the final judgment.
That's right.
Enoch's generation knew nothing about that. And when the Almighty God broke the monotony, death, 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 and he died, and he died, and he died, God was giving hope and telling Enoch and Enoch's generation that there is another possibility, another alternative to death. Are we all there? Enoch and his generation did not know. He who was and still is the resurrection and the life. You and I know about that. Thanks be to God for the interruption and the break, or rather the breaking of the hopeless monotony that we find when after he died, the only thing that the living could look forward to is death. But in Enoch, the Almighty God let that and succeeding generation understand that there is more to look forward to other than death. Have you noticed too, like Methuselah living 969, have you noticed that the Almighty God permitted no one to pass that threshold? Think about it. Nobody has ever gone the 1,000. That's no accident. Nobody. But Brother Mitchell, I would be satisfied with just 200 years. I would be satisfied with that too. But thank God for what he has given me. But nobody, this man came the closest, Methuselah, 969 years. But of all the long liver, nobody had reached that 1,000 years threshold. No man, no woman. That's no accident. That's no accident. That probably would have put some wrong thought in man. So after 900 plus, the Almighty God said enough was enough. Through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ, we can say, that is, those of us who are alive, not just now, but in the Christian age, in the Christian dispensation, those of us who have lived after the cross of Jesus Christ, we can say that while it is a great thing to be born, but it is yet a greater thing to be born again. Those of us who lived after the cross of Jesus Christ can say to be in God's world is much, but to be in the church of Christ is much more. Enoch and his generation knew nothing about Jesus Christ born again. Say that again, Brother Mitchell. I need to. Enoch and Enoch's generation knew nothing about Jesus Christ born again. Wait. You know, it is in Jesus Christ and only in Jesus Christ men and women can be born again.
That's right.
Only since Christ and the gospel, only in Christ can men and women be born again.
Amen.
Wait. The Jews didn't know about that. This is why in the book of St. John chapter 3 and verse 5, let us hear it, brothers. We are wrapping up. In another few minutes, the lesson will be yours. Let us hear it.
Jesus answered. Verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit,
same time by breaking the monotony, by creating a different scenario when it comes to Enoch, the Almighty God was giving hope to that generation and succeeding generation who all the past generations saw was hopelessness because all that they knew and he died. But Enoch and Enoch generation knew nothing about what it means to born again. Because this is possible only in Jesus Christ and since the cross of Jesus Christ. You must be born of the Spirit and of the water. May I? So I refer to this as Jesus Christ, glorious, born again, in which are tied up so much of God's grace and God's blessing. That's right. In this born again of water and Spirit, so much of God's grace and God's blessings are tied up in that. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? I'm not going to tell you what I mean. Now, to be born of the Spirit and of the water is talk about baptism. I repeat, to be born of the Spirit and of water, it's talking about baptism. It's talking about conversion, being converted to Jesus Christ. Remember, I make the statement that to be born is a great thing, but to be born again is greater. I made the statement that to be born in this world is much, but to be in the body of Christ, the church of Christ, is much more. But all of that is tied up in this business of being born again. So much of God's grace and God's blessing and man's hope is tied up in this born again. Because, brothers and sisters, all of God's spiritual blessings, they are tied up in Jesus Christ. May I just drop something as a biblical illustration? There was no salvation in the time of Noah outside of Noah's boat.
That's right.
None. It doesn't matter how people laugh at the boat, mock the boat, and feel that they could build a boat like Noah's own. Remember, before Noah, they had never seen hard rain. Lot of rain. They had never seen that. So that's all the more reason they mock Noah. They laugh at Noah. What an idiot. And you know what? They thought that they were the smart aleck. But there was no salvation outside of Noah's boat. And God proved to be right. Because at the end of the day, only Noah, his three sons, and the three wives, and Noah's wife, survived the flood. Well, I'm here to tell you the same way. There is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And you know how you're going to get there? Through this barn again. That's right. The only way to get into Jesus Christ is this barn again. That's why it is a barn again. Enoch and his generation did not know about this glorious barn again, in which, as I said, is tied up so much of God's grace, God's blessing, and man's hope. When you are born again in Jesus Christ, what Enoch experienced, you and I will experience it even in a more glorious way.
Amen.
Yes, we will die. But after death, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be caught up to meet Jesus Christ in the air. Enoch went ahead of us. I can imagine the people who saw this man taken up, because there's no indication that it was a private thing. And Enoch's generation have never seen. All that they saw was death, funeral. And to see a man after living close to God taken up like that, that left an impression of hope on them. But we have a greater hope in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So let us learn that when the Almighty God broke that monotony in Enoch, God was sending a message also to us that in Jesus Christ there is life after death.
That's right.
Glorious life, happy life, peaceful life. Today you can embrace Jesus Christ. You can embrace hope for a glorious resurrection. You can embrace hope that everything for you will not end at death through Jesus Christ. When the Almighty God did, as an exception, it was an exception. When God did and made that exception in Enoch, the Almighty God left an indelible impression upon the generation, because they lived hoping that what happened to Enoch will happen to them. But you and I do not have to look to Enoch. We only have to look to the one who has the power over death and dying and over the resurrection, and that is Jesus Christ. Today,